We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Patriots Monday on WEEI. Patriots Monday is brought to you by Kubota, Northeast Electrical, and Town Fair Tire. This is Marloni and Fourier.
I see the same thing, and I have a thousand images.
Oh, you're lying.
Look at this.
You're making it up.
Well, you want to see my computer?
You're making it up.
There's a picture here with pineapple on it.
You Googled ham.
No, I didn't. Google ham.
You Googled Thanksgiving ham. What do you think's going to come up?
Remember when Patriots Titans sounded like this?
Brady's pass is intercepted and returned for a touchdown by Logan Ryan, the former Patriot.
And now it sounds like this.
Ford breaks away. Touchdown, Patriots!
The Patriots continue to surge while Mac Jones continues to draw big praise.
Mac Jones has been a godsend for this team.
Clearly, the runaway offensive rookie of the year in the NFL.
It's Lou.
Why did it become turkey? Like, why couldn't it be venison? There's freaking deer. How about a bunny?
It's Christian.
Can you imagine how the NFL has decided to force the American public to watch the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears?
Now, please get your first and last name.
My name is Chuck Ordway.
It's Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Hello, happy Monday, everybody. It's a Patriots Monday. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, my God.
That was Chuck Ordway. We never played Chuck Ordway
Chuck
from last
Ordway.
Week.
I just threw that one on there.
Yeah, Chuck Ordway was calling the USDA to help him cancel the Detroit Lions from playing ever again on Thanksgiving.
Wants to get rid of it. Do you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Enjoy
your ham.
Excellent. I ate my ham.
Yep.
I did. Everybody loved the ham. The ham was a huge hit. I don't know what it was like at your house where you visited.
No ham.
You just did that out of spite, though.
No, there was no ham.
You literally said,
I was
don't
expecting
eat
ham, and nobody put ham on the table. So
you were supposed
like,
to
all right,
bring
no
ham.
No, I'm not bringing ham. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. But I had a very nice Thanksgiving up in Maine / New Hampshire. So we were kind of like right there, Fryeburg, Conway. We were in that area right there. It was nice.
Yeah.
Nice little getaway, little time away. What are you laughing at?
How was your indoor, pool experience?
Oh, man, that red jacket. Any people ever been to Red Jacket? Like, any people ever been there? Like, you spend 4.5. My kid won't leave.
There's another version of that.
It was like Friday. It was like 4 o'clock. I mean, it closes at 8:30. We're not staying for 4.5 hours. I got him out of there like 7:45. I'm like, sitting there for 4 hours. But I tell you, it's kind of like Star Wars, like the barroom, that scene, like walking in there on Thursday. I was like, holy smokes. It was a mess.
And I tell you what, if you want to feel good, if you have a low self-worth, if you feel fat and out of shape, go to one of these indoor water parks in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And then I tell you what, one, you'll see every crazy tattoo known to man, every sort of place you
Thursday
can think
was
of,
interesting.
Men and women, and you'll feel good about your own diet.
I don't know what it was. Thursday was, like I said, Star Wars. Friday seemed like it was normal. It was normal. I don't know. People just kind of came in for the weekend, but I had a nice time. What do you think of your 8-4 Patriots?
I would say I'm probably just as good as you feel about it. I think they're in a great situation, unbelievable situation. And so there's reasons to be optimistic. There's not a person who could dump on this team. There's not a person in this room that I feel like can dump on this win.
Oh, I don't know
about that. Not one person who could find something wrong with this win.
I think it might surprise people who that person might be.
Well, I am not personally going to dump on them. And maybe you tell me if this is dumping on them, all right?
Okay.
You tell me. Because this is every Monday we get on the phone and we talk, first impressions. This, for me, this was the least impressive win of all of them. And it's one of those wins.
Well, Houston wasn't very impressive.
No, but still.
I came back.
Different time, different place.
Different team.
I mean, like, I don't want to get into it, but for me, based on where they were and what they were doing, what they were accomplishing, this was the least impressive win for me. Because what I tell you what the Titans are doing is what we used to do as Patriots when we took those L's against teams that we knew we were better than. Can't wait to play them again. Things sure will be different next time we play them again. You played a beat up, banged up, that a team that broke a record for most players used during a season. They broke it. 86 players. We kept talking about it all last week. They were at 82. The record was 84. They hit 86 yesterday. Okay, they had 17 guys on on IR, and that which included them putting AJ Brown on there. Then they ruled out 6 other players prior to Sunday's game, which included a bunch of starting linebackers. And then during the middle of the game, you lose your other starting linebacker, inside linebacker, Monty Rice. So I'm not going to dismiss a win because they're too hard to come by. But to me, if you play this team over again and they have 2 of their 3 offensive weapons, 2 of their linebackers that didn't even get to play, this is a totally, completely different outcome. And you're probably going to have to play them in Tennessee. That's all I'm saying. So when I think of Mike Vrabel, I think of all the issues they had on special teams, the terrible field position the Tennessee Titans had, all the stupid penalties that kept putting them in terrible situations, all the turnovers. The Titans have 9 turnovers now in 2 games. 9 turnovers in 2 games.
They're 0-2.
And they're 0-2 because of it. So that is not the Tennessee Titans team that you will undoubtedly end up playing in the playoffs, because they still have a nice little lead on you, and their remaining games are easy. So I'm happy for the win. You got to keep piling them up. You got to keep adding them. But I was unimpressed with the win.
Well, I know it's not that when you say
is that a thing? Can I say that?
You can say that, because I'm looking at it saying, well, you know, the Jets, and you're talking about recently, right? They beat the Jets a couple times. Houston wasn't very impressive, but I mean, Nick did come back and they win that game. So you're talking about this recent run. Right, the Jets.
Yes, the 6. Yes,
they destroyed them. The Chargers, I thought, was an impressive game. I thought they beat them up, and it was a big challenge for them. Carolina, Cleveland, Atlanta, Tennessee. Maybe you have a case of making that. I felt like, first off, this game we all know wasn't 36-13. Like, you know, it wasn't a 23-point victory, right? I mean, like you mentioned, the turnovers. Like this was a game heading into early in the third quarter. It wasn't that pick that Tannehill threw. I mean, it was 26-13 at the time. That was about to make it 27-20 in the fourth quarter, you know, with 12 minutes to go. They had a lot of these, right? You forgot about the missed field goal early on by Bullock.
The boinks?
Know? Yeah, all the boinks that this guy, he can't kick anything. Extra points, field goals, whatever. You know, the 16-13 at halftime. You know, there was a lot of it, right? Foreman's long run. That was a 19-13 game in New England territory when he fumbled. Again, 26-13 when Tannehill threw a pick in the end zone. Could have been 26-20. So this game was a lot closer. But I still think it was an impressive win, because I do feel better about that Tennessee team. Like, that's a tough team. Like, Vrabel's a good coach. They had no right being in that game.
Zero right.
But I thought physically they stopped your run, which is what you do well. You didn't run at all. Forget about what the fourth quarter numbers. I think those two guys, you're two good running backs in Harris and Stevenson. I think they basically ran for like 26 yards in first three quarters. That was it for 3 quarters. Then they got 60 in the fourth. But for 3 quarters, they stopped what you do well. And after that pick, that thing was over. But so this was a tough game. But they took away what you do well in running the football. And you went out there, threw the ball, still moved the ball down the field. And defensively, you kind of just do what you do. Like, there wasn't, like, every single one of those turnovers, like, was because of them. You know what I mean? I don't look at, like, what was it, the Zach Wilson overthrow by 10 yards, interception by J.C. Jackson? You're like, that was because of him. You know what I mean? These ones you worked for. Hustle plays, hustling down Foreman, hustling these guys in the end zone. Great pick by McCourty. All of these were because you have a great defense. So I think it's kind of to form. I thought it was impressive. I know this team was shorthanded, but it was impressive. They were constantly throughout the day.
The only difference for them, and Ryan Tannehill did not have a good game. He was great in the first half.
He was 8 for 8 to start the game.
Yeah, he was great. And then all of a sudden you're like, who is this dude? He was 11 for 21 for 93 yards, and he was 1 of 8 for 14 yards in the second half. With an interception in the second half. So he was terrible. It's the only thing that was missing from that game. If that was Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, that's basically the only difference. is that you didn't have Robert Saleh being your head coach. You had Mike Vrabel. You didn't have Zach Wilson. You had Ryan Tannehill. They activated four tight ends and two fullbacks. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Hell, the Atlanta Falcons, at least they had Kyle Pitts and Matt Ryan. They had nothing. So when I look at it, I'm now, after Thanksgiving, I'm tending to look at big picture. What happens when you play them again, Lou?
See, that feels old school.
What happens when you play them again?
That's just a reminder that they're back. Like the Patriots are back. Like, you know what I mean? You're starting to think about, this is how we used to think about them for all of these years. Yeah, you won, but what does it mean? You know, are you going to give up 270 yards? You got to shore up the running defense. Are you going to continue to get turnovers? Those are the things we used to say throughout this dynasty of the New England Patriots. And that's what you're telling me you're doing right now.
I am.
You're looking ahead saying, is it good enough?
You don't think Bill's doing that? You don't think Mike's doing that? Mike Vrabel's probably sitting there going, we play those guys again, we're going to beat them.
See, I would agree with that. I don't think Mike Vrabel jumped on a plane, flew home, and said 36-13, they stomped our ass. No, I think he said, okay, obviously we clean it up. You know, Derrick Henry, they ran for 270 yards. So if the Patriots want to just put out there a nickel defense and allow them to run, Derrick Henry will do that. Only the difference is he probably won't fumble a couple of times like these young kids did, right? So that could be a difference. But I don't think Vrabel's leaving here saying we just got our ass whipped by 23 points. I think he knows exactly why, because it's possession. You can't give a fumble, turn the ball over four times, miss an extra point, miss a 44-yard field goal. It's like anything else we can do to lose this game? Like anything else that we can do to hand them the football game?
The only reason why I say this is because I believe, now if this was Robert Saleh, if this was any of the young coach, I would say they're too young and dumb. They don't have it figured out. I look at Vrabel the same way I look at Bill. Mike's going to figure it out. Mike's going to have his team ready. His team is going to be motivated, encouraged. You know, now the burden of proof will undoubtedly be on the Patriots when they have a rematch, because For the how many games they have left, they'll play the Buffalo Bills twice. They have a chance of playing them in the playoffs. They've already played the Tennessee Titans. They have a chance of playing them. Every team that they beat in the AFC, in a roundabout way, they can end up playing them again in the playoffs. Except the Baltimore Ravens, because they're not even playing the Ravens. The Colts could be a team that they end up playing again. They play them in a couple weeks.
All right, listen, we got to get to this game, too. And Mac Jones, it's Monday, so we're going to talk to Mac here at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. I want to talk about Mac Jones' performance before we talk to him, because one national analyst on this radio station compared his rookie year to that of a Hall of Famer. You'll hear that next on Merlot.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maloney and Fourier.
Back to Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
Daniel Jones is still struggling here as the Giant quarterback. Zach Wilson looked awful yesterday, even though they won. I mean, there are so many guys all across the landscape of the NFL that just have never really had it register with them what's going on around them. And Mac is way ahead of all of those guys. I mean, he's like in the land of Dan Marino right now when you think about Dan Marino's rookie year, when you go all the way back when he took over.
Boomer Esiason on the Greg Hill Show comparing Mac Jones' rookie year to that of Dan Marino's.
Which is legendary. His numbers are pretty impressive, though. I'm gonna throw some at you real quick, because I saw this yesterday, and this is from Pro Football Focus, and I was amazed. Okay, so during this six-game winning streak, this is where Mac Jones ranks as far as, according to Pro Football Focus. He is second in yards, okay, with over 1,300. He is second in yards per attempt at 8.1. He is second in what they call big-time throws, which is 9, which I'm assuming are like impact plays. Anything over 20, 25 yards, that's a big-time throw. That's an impact play running or through the air. He's third in passer rating with a 106.5. He's fourth in touchdowns with 9. It really should be 10 based on the fact that he missed a Hunter Henry yesterday, but whatever. And he's fourth in completion percentage at 69.4%. Six-game winning streak. Those are your numbers. You have the top five quarterback in the NFL, not amongst rookies, in the NFL, He is a top five quarterback all day long. The numbers don't lie. If you want a big sample, and then we're not talking, we're not cherry picking this. We're not going to grab.
Well, we are. It's the last six.
No, but I mean, I think it's important based on their winning streak.
No, I know.
But it's not two games. It's not a three game winning streak, Lou. It's six games. Okay, games. That to me, it removes your ability to cherry pick. We're not taking the last three games and everybody can feel good about themselves. Six games, almost half the season. I mean, that's pretty telling. This tells me that this is not a fluke. Things are not changing. This is who he is. You've had plenty of opportunities to fail. You've overcome it. You've had plenty of opportunities to hit the wall. You crashed through it.
I think that I've said this before. We're no longer looking at him as a rookie quarterback. And I know that, even because today, because I still hear, like, after that game, it's like, was he his best? No, he wasn't. You know, he missed that pass to Tanner Henry, you know, and it was a ball thrown to Jonnu Smith that should have been a pick. But I think you could look at any quarterback in the NFL and watch their game and say, yeah, there was one pass he didn't make or two passes that he should have made and didn't make. You know, what about the pass to Kendrick Bourne, the first touchdown? The one he let go before Bourne even got into his break to go to the corner. It was perfect. Like, it was a great catch by Bourne, but it was perfect. No, I think he's been outstanding. I've been saying this for a while. You know, I think he's been fantastic. You know, I don't think he's getting enough credit. We're no longer looking at him as a rookie because we're picking, like, one pass here. He overthrew Hunter Henry. No question. It was probably the easiest pass he had all day. I mean, he was wide open. He could have thrown it short. Hunter Henry could have stopped 5 yards short and still caught the ball and ran in for the end zone. But, I mean, like, we act like nobody does that in the league. Like, not one quarterback. Go watch Brady in the afternoon. Like, there's passes that he doesn't make. Like, no matter who you are. So, I mean, I thought he's been outstanding.
Hell,
recently.
Ryan
last six games, those numbers right there prove it.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill missed a wide-open receiver earlier in that game that could have made a difference. That's another thing that they screwed up on. But you're right. I actually, the more the season goes on, the more I think people feel that he just is above, you know, boneheaded just mistakes, like just a misfire. He overthrew Hunter Henry. Even before that play, or actually after that play, he had a flare route to Kendrick Bourne that he threw in the
dirt.
That
was that weird sequence.
And then he almost threw a pick six to a linebacker, to a backup linebacker, that if the linebacker had any hand-eye coordination at all, that ball, that interception goes back to the house.
That's that sequence, those
and
three
then
downs.
He had the other one.
Then there was the run for first down that he thought was the first down that wasn't, that he says he was looking for the penalty. I'm not so sure. But that sequence right there, those three plays, that's what a lot of other teams see, especially with the rookies. They see it, like, they see
all
that
the
two
time.
Or three times, four times a game. Like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, good God, he's their third best quarterback up in New York. Like, he sucks. So it's that's what I mean. So you saw that one sequence where it's like, oh my God. But that's been about it. Like, that's been about it. Has he been perfect? No. But I was looking at before the last nine games. You talked the last six. Since that New Orleans Saints game, because you could say that was the one hiccup, right? Three interceptions. Even though one was on Jonnu Smith, I get it. You know, he's got a 105.4 quarterback rating in his last nine games, 14 touchdowns, five picks, which when you kind of look at what Boomer Esiason was talking about, he compared him to Dan Marino's. Dan Marino lost his first three games as a starter that year. And then in the last nine games, pretty similar, 17 touchdowns, five picks, 96 quarterback rating, 58% completion percentage. Mac Jones has been better than that. He's been 72 basically for the last nine games. This is a rookie that people are no longer judging him as a rookie, because I know that, because they're critical of him, because they're trying to hold one throw or two throws a game against him. When a guy goes 22 for 26 against Atlanta and we say he wasn't at his best, three balls hit the ground. He threw a pick. That's it. And he wasn't at his best. And it's like, dude, what are we doing right now?
And the other
Does he
thing,
have to go 25 for 25 in order to be a perfect
I think
game?
I think people assume that's the way the numbers should be, where what he's doing right now is unbelievable. And the other thing I want to bring up, because I heard Boomer Esiason say this on Greg Hill's show this morning, is what we talked about as far as the rookie wall. He mentions it also.
And you would think by now there would be some sort of mental fatigue that has taken over, and I don't see any of that. I see more and more being offered to him in their game plans. He's throwing the ball down the field more. He's getting more comfortable.
The mental fatigue aspect is real.
Well, every quarterback analyst has been waiting for it, and it just hasn't happened.
I think we had it already. It was like a rolling California stop. Like California stop sign. Nobody actually stops in California for stop sign. We call it a rolling stop. So you're not really affected. Like, your speed really continues.
You do that everywhere.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. God, that's
no,
awesome,
I think we started it. It's called Rolling Stock. California right. Rolling Stock. Right. The point is that I think we saw it a couple weeks ago when we first mentioned it to him, when we talked to him, and he went right through it.
Mac, have you ever heard of the rookie wall?
I have not.
You have not? Okay.
Okay, good.
There it is.
Let's
move on.
But I do want one more from Boomer here before we get to Mac Jones here in a minute. Talking about Mac, relating him to other rookies in this league.
We still got a long way to go, but up to this point, he is clearly the runaway offensive rookie of the year in the NFL.
Clearly the runaway rookie of the year. Last year's rookie of the year, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was last year's rookie of the year. Now, not nearly as fast, not nearly as handsome, not as in good of shape with his shirt off. You're not going to ever confuse those two with they're hanging out at the beach with their shirts off.
I don't like that.
No, one's got a dad bod, the other one doesn't. And they're both around the same age, like 23 years old.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, I would think that if he continues this, and we'll see where the record ends up, but I would think that right now, I mean, we'll check the current odds, you know, where Ja'Marr Chase runs into this thing. But he's had a couple slow weeks, 3 catches the last 2 weeks. And he's got a touchdown, but 3 catches, 32, 3 catches, 39. He's kind of fallen off to where he was earlier in the year. So right now, I would think Mac Jones is the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year. All right, speaking of Mac Jones, let's get to him because it's Monday, and it's time to talk to the quarterback. We'll do it next. All right, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. It is a Patriots Monday and 2:30. It's time to talk to the quarterback. And our quarterback interview is sponsored by Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, and by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health at Northeast Men's Health. com. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the quarterback, Mac Jones. Mac, how you doing? Lou and Christian here.
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
We're doing good, man. Congrats. Another big win. So I have to ask you, is that the coldest game you have ever played in?
No. I think it'll get a lot colder, and everyone had to play in it, so it's not just me. It actually felt pretty good out there, so it wasn't too bad.
So no gloves for you, huh? Do you even try them, or you just don't like them?
No, I haven't tried them, but I'll see, I guess.
Will you do me a favor? Will you explain this 2-4 mindset that I hear a lot of the players talking about post-game?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, you know, kind of where we were and how we felt early in the season, and we were really hungry, and we're still hungry, but we just have to keep that same intensity that we had when we weren't necessarily winning, but we always talked about the, like, process and stuff like that, so... We've really just stuck to the same process every week, and we got to do a better job each week, just improving on that and practicing better and applying it to the game. When, you know, the game comes, that's obviously the most important time, and that's when you want to be your best.
How much of that 2-4 mindset relates to all the criticism that you guys were hearing around town? Around town, I would say different platforms, you know, radio shows, paper, I mean, all forms of communication.
Yeah, I think just at the end of the day, in the beginning of the year, we weren't winning. That's all it comes down to. But we knew that we still have a good team, and none of that really matters now. And really just going forward, all that matters is going 1-0 each week. And I think we've had the right mindset of just focusing on the game we're about to play, and that's been important, and it's a long season, and that's what I know from listening to everybody. Just it's a long year, and you got to just keep grinding, and the wins will come.
So we're talking to Mac Jones, and Mac, touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne. I did see a stat that Kendrick was now tied for first in contested catch rate, like fourth in yak, all over the place. But are you starting to gain a lot of confidence when you throw him the ball? He's coming down with it, even in those contested situations?
Yeah. I think he does a good job, you know, going up and attacking the ball. And our receiver room's done a great job of that in practice and then applying it to the game. It's kind of that mindset of just that's our ball and we're going to go get it. So they got to keep doing that. And I just got to give them a chance to touch the ball and they'll make the play. So KB's done that. And he's an exciting player that brings great energy every day. And, you know, he's just the energizer bunny that just keeps going. So he's a great guy to have on our team.
Yeah, I heard the Energizer Bunny, nickname, but I also heard David Andrews call him a Labrador Retriever. Why is Andrews calling? What is he doing at practice for you guys? Is it for him to be nicknamed a Labrador Retriever?
I don't know. I guess he's always on go, and he's always running around having a good time. So I guess that's where that comes from.
You guys aren't throwing stuff to him.
Yeah, bring the ball back to you every time you throw it to him.
Does he put when you throw him the ball? Does he put it at your feet? It's all wet and gross. Is that what?
He just dances after he catches the ball and he has fun with it. So
there was a point, Mac, where I was a little worried for you. I was thinking back. I'm like, wait, did he just take a big hit? Because he's sort of concussed. Take me through that run that you felt was like a first down run that was just a couple yards shy of it.
I thought I was maybe going to get the flag or whatever, but they made the right choice because I didn't give myself up. So I thought that they had already thrown it, so we got the first down, but we didn't. But yeah, that was just kind of I looked back and I was like, oh, dang, that was too soon, I guess.
Yep. your reaction to the ref when he didn't throw the flag, when you were surprised?
Or? I mean, that's his job. And I talked to him about it, and he's like, well, if you give yourself up and as a quarterback, then you'll get it. But I was considered a runner, so it was a good call.
But before that, I feel like, you probably had one of your most challenging sequences of the year. Before that play, you had the throw in the dirt to Kendrick Bourne. Feels like you just weren't sure about it. Then you almost had a pick six.
Yeah, I think just my thing is just committing to the throw. And, you can't sit there and do 50-50 passes. So if you're going to throw it, just throw it. And obviously I shouldn't have thrown it there, but at least I committed to the throw. And I can do a better job getting it to the guy who was open on the play. And a lot of it's just preventing turnovers. Like, that was too close to being a turnover, so you don't ever want to do that.
I'm sure the players and the coaches probably appreciate that mindset, committing to the throw, no indecision. I feel like gets a lot of these young quarterbacks in trouble because they overthink it. Is that something that Josh has been coaching you up on, or is that something that you came to the team with?
I think it's definitely – Josh lets us go out there and play, and we have a game plan in mind, and he does a great job throughout the weekend, that's ready to go. And when you're out there, it just might be a little bit different than practice or whatever, and you just got to, like I said, commit to it. And he understands, like, all the players are out there playing, and he has a very good view of everything and sees it exactly how we see it. So we're all on the same page there, and everyone just has to do that. If it's a run play, commit to the block you're supposed to make or whatever it may be. It just goes back to like doing your job really well. So
we're talking to Mac Jones on the Harbor One Hotline. And Mac, for years, we've all heard as Patriot fans, Tom Brady talk about these famous one-on-one meetings with Bill every week, whether it's Tuesdays or whatever it was, just sit down one-on-one, just talking football, going over the game plan. Do you have those with Bill, one-on-one sit downs every week?
Yeah, that's top secret information. So I think we obviously do meet with him, and it does help, though, like when we meet and he goes through the situations and stuff. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, he does a great job coaching everybody, and we're all listening to every word that he says because he's been a great coach for a long time, and he's seen football, a lot more football than all of us. So we're all there to listen and learn, and whether it's a team meeting or whatever. So
I'm assuming you probably meet with McDaniels also, probably more. So when you guys are installing maybe red zone, short yardage, 2-minute, like how often do you get play suggestions into the game plan?
I think Josh does a great job of listening to all the suggestions that we have. And at the end of the day, he puts them all in. And if I don't like one or something, I'll talk through it with him. And he does a great job explaining why it's there. And if I have a suggestion, he'll always listen and put it in. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a mutual relationship. And his job is to call the plays, and my job is to execute whatever he calls. So we all have to do that on offense. I mean, if it's a run or pass or screen or whatever. So, and we obviously can do a better job of that. So the plays are great, and we just need to execute better on Sundays.
All right, we're talking to Mac Jones. And, Mac, this is 12 games into your professional career. I'm curious. Is there something you've learned about the game of football that you didn't know before you became a pro? Like, learned at this level?
I mean, obviously, you're learning a lot every day, whether it's situationally or the rules or however it may be different from college or whatever, but there's nothing that I'm not all-knowing and nobody on our team is all-knowing. We're all at different points in our career or whatever, but we're trying to just learn every day. And, you know, one that stood out to me obviously is an easy one, but like the clock stopping in 2 minutes when you get a first down in college is different than the NFL. Like it goes a lot quicker. Obviously it doesn't stop. So, I mean, that's one little thing. Obviously a lot of people know that, but when you're out there, it is a lot faster in that regard.
You know, when things are going great for you guys, red zone wise, and you see Nick Folk walk out onto the field, do you ever give him a quick little side eye of disgust? I'm sure it's a contrast of emotions.
No, I mean, it is good to have him out there. I mean, it's better than the other team getting the ball back or something like that. So points are points, and he does a great job. Obviously, Jake and Joe do a great job, too, and the field goal team blocking everybody and making sure everything goes. So it takes all 11 guys there, too. And as long as we can get it down there, I know we want to score touchdowns, but points are points, and we'll find ways to get the ball in so he can just kick extra points instead of 3 points.
Yeah, exactly. I only want him coming out there for extra points. I always hated it when the field goal kicker came out.
Yeah.
All right, Max. So, listen, it's time for the quarterback question of the week, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, with locations in Dedham near Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, so during the telecast, you know, the announcers were talking about your favorite tennis player. And I want to say his name is Gael Monfils, something like that. That's my best French accent there, yeah. Matt. Yes. Why this guy? What is it about this dude that you like so much?
I just remember watching him when I was little, and I watched everybody, obviously, and my dad had played tennis for a long time, and we always watched on the tennis channel. But I just liked how he played. Like, he was just very out of the ordinary. He would do, like, flips and stuff and in between the leg, tweener shots and all that. So it was just really fun to watch him play. And I mean, I don't, like, keep up with him or anything like that. But
he's a big dude, too, Maggie. 6'4".
Yeah, the Frenchman.
Oh, that's his nickname, the Frenchman?
Yeah, you like the showman in him, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, but he was just fun to watch.
All right, so getting ready for your first Monday Night Football game. I'm guessing you're excited about that. We'll talk to some of the players going through it, but any feelings about getting your first Monday Night Football game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They just have said that Monday Night games, there's a lot of energy, and obviously where we're playing is a great football city who cares a lot about football, and they have a really good team. So I think we just got to go in there and have fun and enjoy the moment. And I know both teams are going to play really hard, so it'll be a really good atmosphere and all that, and I'm excited for it, so it'll be fun.
What do you know about the Bills Mafia?
Yeah, I mean, I know they're a great fan base. They have a lot of passion, and they bring a lot of energy to the games, and even before the games, I've seen a lot of crazy videos and stuff. So.
You know they like to throw stuff onto the field, right? Has anybody told you what they like to throw onto the field? Especially in that one corner end zone?
Don't pick it up if you see
it. Yeah, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Especially if you don't have gloves on. You have no idea where it's been, Mac. Your elder's talking to you. Just leave it there and call an adult. If it's moving, definitely call an adult. All right.
All right, Mac, listen, man, good luck next week. We're looking forward to talking to you. Have a good time Monday Night Football in Buffalo.
All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
All right, our conversation with the quarterback is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. And now it's time to review this week's powerful play brought to you by Enel. It was a Kendrick Bourne. He made a huge play for Mac Jones, a 41-yard pass to put the Pats up 26-13. Enel, official energy partner of Gillette Stadium. So, Mac Jones, before the break, we were talking about this rookie of the year and where he sits. Boomer Esiason was talking about, well, currently he is the favorite, and he has jumped up. I mean, he is the clear favorite, minus 300 to win rookie of the year this year. Ja'Marr Chase has dropped to plus 225. Jalen Waddle is third at plus 3,500. So it's a two-man race, and Mac Jones has passed Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think of the young quarterback?
Things. One, I don't think he understands or gives a crap about Buffalo and what it's going to be like and how fun of an environment it's going to be like.
I don't think he understood the cold question either.
This will be no, I don't think he understood what actually is thrown onto the field.
Will this game be played in? No, there's going to be more. Oh, yeah. And everyone else had to go through it.
Well, he's not wrong.
I'm no different than anybody else. Everybody's dealing with the cold.
Up to this point in your life.
No.
You just sort of let things go sometimes.
So, three things for me.
Go ahead.
All right. You mentioned it. You started getting into the whole, are you meeting with Bill and didn't really want to get into it.
Top secret.
We talk about, whether we consider him a rookie or not. A good sign of whether or not a coach is viewing him as a rookie is how much input he allows the rookie to have. I would think, going into week 13, Mac Jones would have a pretty good idea what throws he likes, how he wants to attack a team, almost doing the job of the OC for the OC. So he says, they listen to him, but I would think that he has more input now than he did, when he started. Wouldn't you say that,
Well, he's advanced at this point. The stories of Brady sitting down, what plays do you like, what plays don't you like? How do you have that conversation 1-2 weeks into a career? So what plays do you like, Mac? I don't know. I ran it once and it worked, so I like that one.
Yeah.
So now that you've got 10 weeks, 11 weeks, 12 weeks of plays, of film, of just, memory bank, I think it's a lot easier for him to sit there and say, it's like we've run this like 3 or 4 times and I'm still not comfortable with it, with the way this is or that is. You know what I mean? So now there's a little bit more information for him to sit there and say, I really like this one. And I know we might have missed it the first time or two, but as you've seen the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've hit on it. And, I knew I liked it for a reason. So I think that, yeah, he's got more information. He should have more input because he's 12 games in, not one or two.
Yeah, but there's obviously a trust that I think that has been established now with him. So I think they probably, when he has his input, I think they take him seriously. That is my point. The other one was what I loved hearing. Was how that interception that he almost threw
to
Dylan Cole, the linebacker, third string linebacker for the Titans. He says he talks about committing to the throw. I see more quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, second year quarterbacks, even that just kind of they pat the ball. They're indecisive. They don't trust the coverage. They don't trust the route. So they bail. They run. They get out the back of the pocket and they start running, or they throw it in the dirt, or they throw it away. He says, "Screw it. I'm trusting my receiver. I'm trusting the route. I'm trusting the play call. I'm throwing it," which has led him to a couple near death experiences, I would say, with picks. A lot of guys have dropped the balls that he's thrown to him, defenders. So that route by Jonnu Smith was a terrible route. He rounded it at the top. It was an easy giveaway. The linebacker jumps the route. He should have went for 6. It should have been a closer game, but he didn't. I like that aspect of it. Yeah, committing to the throw.
And I think we talk about all the time these athletic quarterbacks, right? And I do think that part of these guys, some of these guys, these young guys like Zach Wilson or whoever it might be, they sort of, it's one look, two looks, and the only thing they trust is their legs. You know what I mean? And then maybe, or they're not committed, or they're rolling out, and they're sort of like, I can run this, but I should throw it. So it's just this confusion, this option that they have to run the football because they are athletic. Mac really doesn't have that option, even though we had that one little run where he thought it was a first down, and it wasn't. But it's not really in his mindset. First option, second option, run, because that's what you do. That's what you trust. That's what you have, your legs. He doesn't. So he sort of looks through all the progressions, and I think that kind of actually helps him. Like you said, being committed with some of these throws. He got away with that one.
Oh, my God, did he ever get away with that one.
And that was that one sequence that we talked about with threw the ball off Bourne's calf.
Yeah.
And then he almost threw a pick 6.
Yeah.
And then he ran it and gestured to the first down right away.
Two fingers.
And you were just sort of like, okay, did he, I joked, I'm like, did he get hit before that? Did I miss something? Is he sort of concussed right now? And because that was the one sequence all year long. Probably the worst sequence all year long.
Three weird plays in a row. Okay.
Weird.
The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, and so it's almost I think it's a shame thing when the kicker constantly has to come onto the field and bail your ass out. You can't finish the job, so the kicker has to do it for you.
Shame.
Yeah, yeah. You telling me that that Mac Jones doesn't give him the sinister Joker side eye look to Nick Folk as 37-year-old Nick Folk prances out to the field and looks at him like, can't do it again, huh? Got to clean it up for you again, huh? Well, you can't finish the job, huh, young rookie?
Well, think about what it's like during the week, too, where Mac is locked into every piece of film that he can find, and Folk's like, hey, what's up? Oh, you staying late? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You want me to send for some pizza or something? All right, see you later, rookie.
No, I do think that's a thing. You never want to see the freaking kicker come out in the field, ever.
Unless it's extra points, as you pointed out.
That's it, as long as it's extra points. And the only kick Nick Folk missed was that 53-yarder at the end of the first half where, I mean, listen, he corkscrewed the hell out of that thing and it went wide right. But it's like he tried to put a little bit extra something into the kick. But otherwise, he's been great. I just thought it was interesting. You know, listen, you haven't been great in the red zone, especially yesterday.
We weren't in this game. You know, and I do think the interesting part was because we've talked about them being very good in the red zone lately, right? And they've been taking care of business. They've jumped up the charts. Remember, they went all the way from 31st or whatever it was to middle of the pack and now in their top 10 range in that area. But this was probably the one game where, unlike others in this recent run, well, they could not run the football. And, you know, the success in the red zone, we talked about before, how can you have success if you're not running the football earlier in the year? Well, they were running the hell out of it. But in this game, they could not. And they were 2 for 5. You know, people pointing out earlier, we were talking about it was a closer game, you know, than it was, than the score, which I do believe it was, 36-13. Listen, this was a game going into the fourth quarter. You know, yeah, the Patriots could have taken advantage and been better in the red zone, but it was still like their undoing. They couldn't run the football. They were healthy. You know, the Tennessee Titans had 3 linebackers and a nose tackle that were all inactive, and you still couldn't run the football. So it was more of their doing, not being effective in the red zone. But that was probably because they couldn't run the football. They couldn't run it at all for 3 quarters, and they put it in his hands. And I think that's why it was a good game for him.
They had 8 rush attempts for 14 yards in the first half.
That's it.
That was a rush game. That was a rush game, and so while that game was going on,
13 carries for 26 yards going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so while that game was going on, because I feel like this is going to be a problem for you moving forward. So it's obviously identifiable that you can't run the football. Okay, great. So you get some mop-up duty, big-time plays at the end of the game when all their guys
are
off the field and they're all tied up.
This is a one-day thing, don't you think? I mean, you think their running game has a problem?
No. My point is, my thing is like when you play against in the playoffs, again, I'm foreshadowing now. Okay, you're going to have – so they take away your number one priority, what you do best, which is running the football with your 2 backs, really 3 backs, because Brandon Bolden, you know, they all got the same amount of carries, really, realistically. They all pretty much shared – the carries equally or on the field equally from Stevenson, Harris, and Brandon Bolden. But I just feel like eventually, just like we look at Ryan Tannehill, we were talking about Ryan Tannehill last week.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to win you the game? You can't run the football. Can he win you the game? He couldn't.
No.
He couldn't do it.
And that's
he was
teams,
terrible.
I think eventually, you know, when you saw a well-coached team, in my opinion, kind of try to take what you do best out. Run the football. Try to stop the run. Even without, like, again, their nose tackle and 3 linebackers. They're 2 inside linebackers they were without. And you couldn't run the ball. And they're going to try to make this kid beat you. And that's why I thought he had a good game. That's why I give this win a little bit more credit than maybe you do. Just because I thought there were adjustments that were made. They took away what they do best. You know, like what Bill always tried to make them play left-handed. And they did. And he threw the ball and he was effective.
No, but I don't – I'm
but
not,
it was
I'm
for
not,
reasons why they struggled
I
in the red zone.
I do not want people to – you don't give him credit. No, I am not diminishing. Well, I guess I am ultimately.
Yeah, you are.
I feel like it's the worst win of the season. Like, based on how depleted this team was, they were depleted more than any team they played all year. And the Patriots are at full strength. They have no injury issues. They have no concerns. All hands on deck for the Patriots. Coaching staff, offense, defense, nobody's hurt. This team, on the other hand, just broke a record. 86 different players have been on their roster. 86.
And it was a game.
And they stayed in this game. Look at their backs. Look at their backs. Like, who's you'll never see those backs again the rest of your life.
Well,
never.
They're going to see them for the rest of the season.
No. They'll find somebody else. You won't see those guys again. And then I love should we be downplaying the 270 yards rushing?
Maybe we should get to that.
But that's defense. Not a big deal.
By the way, this hour, Maloney and Forty brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Let's take a look at that defense. Is there a difference between this defense and the 2019 boogeymen? Because we knew what they were. Is this buyers beware? We'll discuss it next on Maloney and Fourier.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.